Amen. We love to see things grow. Hallelujah. And as the song said, and as God has shown to us, God wants his church to grow, and he's got rewards for those who are working. Amen. Every now and again, began here, we needed some extra money. The church gave me $80 a month when it could afford it. And we stayed in the parsonage, and behind the, churches arranged, the front of the church, the back was the parsonage. And those days, the parsonages were furnished. So I took my bride across the umbral. It was easier those days. I was stronger. And so God's done good things. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, shall we? Matthew chapter 5. And how many find that they're making the print smaller than used to? Okay. Matthew chapter 5. Okay. All right. And we'll read verse 41. Whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn not thou away. Going the second mile. That's the title of my message this morning, Going the Second Mile. You see, I take my watch off. I remember a story my old pastor told us years ago, and there were a couple. One went to a very formal church when everything had significance. The other went to a more lively, modern-day church. And so they took turns, and they asked one the other what everything meant. And when the one from the formal church saw the pastor take off his watch, he said, "What does that mean?" She says, "Doesn't mean a thing." Yeah. Okay. All right. Going the second mile. Heavenly Father, give us strength to minister this word, Lord. Give us hearts that are open, and may your spirit just dwell with us. And to you we give the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen. Olympics. Oh, wasn't it wonderful to have the Olympics in British Columbia? Yes, and we had the Olympics in Spain too, but it wasn't the Winter Olympics. It was hot Olympics. And everybody came from around the world, but the Spanish people waited until about September, October, because they knew down in Sevilla, that's a very hot time of the day, year to have Olympics. And one of the phrases is higher, faster, further, just going a little bit more than the year before or the last time they had Olympics. In Spain, in the Canary Islands, it was in Barcelona, I suppose, we had a girl by the name of Fina. And she'd been recently saved from drug addiction, and we had a very difficult time getting people into churches. Spain is called the missionary's graveyard, very difficult place to work in. If I hadn't been in Argentina and begun 7 churches before, I would have come to Spain and wondered if I was saved, but anyways. So we had barbecues in the backyard and different things, and eventually we kind of shifted them towards church. But one day we were having a barbecue, and she was helping out, and she cut her hand with our butcher knife, and she was cleaning it off with a little bit of bleach, and she smiled and said, "Have AIDS, you know." "That's our bread knife." No, we didn't know. This is when AIDS was kind of coming to awareness. And but she gave her heart to God, just loved Jesus, and sometimes she would leave her 12-year-old child with grandma to travel hundreds of miles to visit and to be at the bedside of someone who is leaving this world because of their drug addiction, but they had given their hearts to Jesus. And she said, "Well, when I talked to her about that, she said, you know, after what Jesus has done for me, that's the least I could do. Besides, someday, maybe soon, someone will be standing beside my bed as I'm dying." You know, it's not common to see very self-denying behavior like that today. More frequent is the perfunctory, outward religious observance, kind of like the Pharisees. They gave their tithe. Well, that was good. They fasted. They went to the temple. But their actual everyday behavior, they lived no better than the publicans they so much despised. And so Jesus' call to them was, what do you more than others? That can kind of make us feel uncomfortable. True Christianity is advertised as being the genuine article in part by the exceptional work and sacrifices of those who are the followers. And so to a world that's kind of cynical and to heathens that are disbelieving, there has to be some distinguishing mark that sets it apart, that says, this is of God. This is of God. Only God can change people like that. And it's as we go the second mile that many times people wake up and take notice. So I want to talk about going the second mile in three different aspects. After so many years of teaching homiletics, I make sure it's organized. First, we go the second mile in terms of working with people. Now, one of the classic missionary remarks is, it's a wonderful country if it only weren't for the people. And sometimes people say that about churches, you know. Just a little joke will slide under, it doesn't apply here. But as a pastor was leaving, the janitor said, oh, the next pastor won't be as good as you are. He said, well, maybe he'll be better. No, that's what they said the last time. You know you're in trouble when, you know. Anyways, we're working with people. Some of the people we worked with in Spain, in fact, so many of them had come from a drug addiction background. In fact, in order to be kind of like the dorm paw, almost the qualification was he'd been a drug addict or a drunkard before. But half our Bible school was like that. And God changed their lives, amen? It was wonderful. And then it went to this incredible shrinking church, first of all. It had been kind of on the back burner for a while, and we wanted to send some from the head office, and it just didn't come together from Toronto. And the church was 16, 14, 12. By the time we finally arrived, it was about 8. And the deacon was doing the best he could, but he was better at being a deacon than being a pastor. So we were down to these small amounts. And then God began to work in people who were drug addicts and gypsies. Half of the evangelical population in Spain are gypsies. Amen? Praise God for gypsies. And South Americans and drug addicts. So this woman had seen her husband come to church, and his behavior had changed. And she thought, well, then he wasn't going to church so often. And she said, well, maybe I'll go to church. So she came to church, and she got saved. She got filled with the Spirit and brought along Juan. So he got turned around. But he had a bar. That was his job. He was not on the bartender. He was the bar owner. And he opened the back room in his bar. He was telling everyone about Jesus. They go to the back room, and we tell them about Jesus in the back room. We never read of the sinners. And God began to save drug addicts and homosexuals. Homosexuals, he can change them too, amen? A song of my Bible got recovered by a fellow who was a bookbinder. And God broke the bondages that bound him, and he found Jesus. Hallelujah. So, he brought these people into know the Lord, and we're thankful for that, because people were difficult people, but you know, it's the difficult people that are often more open to the gospel. Poor people. They may not look like us, dress like us, nor smell like us, but soap and clothes cost money, and they're poor. Right? So the church began to grow, and the poor heard him gladly. And some of the eight, the surviving eight, you know the definition of few? We're in a few, that is eight, were saved by the ark. So now you know when people are few, that's eight people. Okay, that's a little biblical trivia. These eight saw these drug addicts and gypsies coming, and they headed for the exits. And the people said, we knew they never loved us. No wonder the church never grew. How many want the church of God to grow? How many want change? Right? Because if a family is to grow, there's going to be changes. And sometimes churches just have to remember that. Lord, help us. The music is too loud. Oh, the music wars. You know what I do? I take it to Kleenex. I wouldn't go to church at all in the Dominican Republic if I had to go to a place that was quiet. I don't like quiet. You see, you adapt. Because for the sake of new souls, you love people. Amen? And so you go the second mile beyond your limits of comfort. But it wasn't very comfortable on the cross, was it? It wasn't very comfortable to leave heaven and come to earth. Every person I've known who's had a visitation and gone to heaven, someone here has gone to heaven in the visitation? Nobody wants to come back. A friend of mine called Mac Rathjen, some of you might know the Rathjens. He had heart problems and he was in heaven. And then kind of Jesus gave him the choice. And you want to go back? Boy says, I don't want to go back like a vegetable. But Jesus said, okay. And then Jesus said, you want to go back to look after Anna Jane, his wife, right? And he said, yeah. So, bang, he was back. Anna Jane just went to be with Jesus now, just a few months ago. Grew up with her from the Kraft family in Nelson. And Mac is, I think he's pushing 90, still going strong for Jesus. He had a chance to stay in heaven, but he preferred to come back finally, but it was hard. Most people want to go to heaven, they want to stay. So, first of all then, we go the second mile with people. And secondly, we go the second mile in our works. The young girl said, you know, Jesus, I love you so much that I would even nurse lepers for you. And she did. She did. How many know it's not very easy to work in Muslim countries? So there was a missionary in Pakistan. And among the works he did, he would visit the hospital. There was an old fellow there who was just, I mean, he couldn't get up out of bed. And nurses, many parts of the world, nurses are not very compassionate. They don't do the job like they do here. So he had to take him and carry him to the bathroom day after day. And when the Muslims saw that compassion, they began to believe in his God. See? Works beyond normal, beyond socially acceptable, going the second mile in our works. That's a mark of the genuine. Now, you can go through the regular works, teach Sunday school class, and God bless those who do that, sing in a choir when we used to have choirs. Those kinds of things, these could even be socially respectable, but really very strong works beyond the normal, sometimes they make other people uncomfortable because we're always playing this comparison game. The Bible says, you know, in Corinthians, not to compare ourselves one with the other, but we do. So Paul said, kind of provoke people to good works, and sometimes he says, be followers of me, as I'm a follower of Christ, and sometimes comparisons, if we are seeking to compare ourselves with someone who does more, because many times the comparison, well, I'm not as bad as. Why not ask yourself, I'm not as good as, you see? Right. Sometimes young people say, what's wrong with? No, that's not the right question. The right question is, what's right with? See? Not how close can I skate on thin ice, but how close can I come to Jesus, amen? That's what we want to do. How close can I come to Jesus, amen? And that's the question. Now, I'll tell you a little story here and see who's the first person to catch on. You're also sharp here. There was a church where the pastor was a bulldoze driver, cat driver. And there's a big flood. Two rivers overflowed their banks. And people came to church Sunday morning. The pastor wasn't there. He finally shows up in his gumboots. He'd been driving cat all night, helping lay sandbags. He says, what are you guys doing in church? Don't you know the rivers are flooding parts of our town? Get out and work. And he began driving a fleet of buses. And in a town of 15,000, had the biggest Sunday school in Canada. Who was that pastor? Who is that pastor? Served as a minister of highways for 20 years. Gallardi. That's it. People say, who's that man? Who's that man in the cat all night? Oh, he's a pastor of a local church. That's where I'm sending my kids. And he would take his Sunday school buses and let them drop off in any church they wanted to go. That's right. You see? Works like that speak louder than words. Amen? Amen? So works. Now, thirdly, going the second mile in your giving. That's the easy part. Should be. Because Jesus said, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who should commit to your trust the true riches? So spiritual treasures. The way I understand it is this. Money is kind of like the ABCs of learning to trust God. And we can understand that. That's simple. It's our life, stamped out in tens or twenties or whatever our monetary equivalent of our wage value is to our time. So in a very important way, when we give money, we're giving our life to God. Amen? You understand that, right? So God says, now you be faithful in that, and I will entrust you with some of the true riches. Downstream, I'm going to ask you to cast out demons. Downstream, I'm going to ask you to start a church. Downstream, I'm going to ask you to start 20 churches. Downstream, you see the kind of thing? We're faithful in what we can easily understand. We're faithful in money, and God begins to say, well, you're faithful little. I'm going to make you in charge of much. Amen? You understanding that? So, I read a lot of biographies, and almost every person who has been used of God has come to a fulcrum point in his life when he's had to make the choice, or she has to make the choice. It may be laying their career in line. Sometimes they lay it in the altar like Abraham, and God says, okay, I see it, fine. You don't have to take it. But I see your sacrifice. I see your willingness. Sometimes God says, well, your house, your car, you know? And it, basically, we're signing the bottom of a blank check to God. And saying, God, lay upon my heart. God blesses the giver. Amen? And then God says, give and it shall be given. I mean, you can't lose. It's like Mother's Day when Junior comes along and tugs on Daddy's coat to say, Daddy, give me $5. What for? To buy a present for Mommy. And so Daddy gives him $5. He goes out and gets a nice card, gets something nice for Mommy. And Mommy says, oh, thank you, Junior. And he says, yes, thank you. Dad says, it's my money, you know. You understand? So we give, but God gives, he's got a bigger shovel, right? And we bless others, and God blesses us, and God can trust us. So, now another quiz. There was a church in which they had a building program. They began to run out of funds, and things hadn't gone so well, and people were on strike because the funds weren't being paid for the workers. So the pastor stood up and said, "Folks, we need some more money to pay for a building." And a woman stood up and said, "I don't have really money, but I have a spoon and I have a bowl. Can I give that?" "Spoon, a bowl. Oh, yeah, I can eat my fingers. I can eat off a banana leaf." And someone stood up and said, "I will pay $35,000 for a spoon and that bowl." And suddenly the roof blew off. And the largest church in the world was built, Yonggi Cho. You get it? So when we take those dramatic steps, as God lays upon our heart, see? Not just pressure, but God puts it in our heart. And so it may be a widow's mite. It may be your car. As a matter of fact, folks, I've got to tell you this. Yesterday, we signed across a note where a family gave me an 11-year-old Cadillac. I drove here in a Cadillac today. Can you say praise the Lord? I can't believe it. Can't believe it. But the wife said, "This Cadillac is too big. I want a smaller Cadillac." So the husband says, "Okay." And they go to trade in, and he says, $1,300 for give your trade in. He says, "For that, I'll give it away." We have a Cadillac. Isn't God good? So don't be afraid to go the second mile in giving. God lays upon your heart. Be faithful in what the church's needs are. But every now and again, God tugs your heart. God speaks. You feel that, right? You felt that, right? And you give. And be careful. You know, we right hand, left hand, you know. Don't have to tell the world. God knows. He's keeping track, amen? When we were in building a church in Argentina, it was getting cold. We still didn't have the roof on. And a pastor, Pastor Veal, maybe some people remember, he sent $500. He said, "We've been setting this aside for our funeral money. But I hope the Lord will come soon instead." Gave us $500 and we put the roof on, praise God. And he lived forever practically. He had lots of money, time to recoup his money. And meanwhile, he's got, I believe, a mansion in heaven. Amen. So let us just, by God's grace, say, "God, help me to be willing to go that second mile." With people, there are some difficult people. There's some odd people in church like you, you know. We just have to get along with them and say, you know, C.S. Lewis talks about that and asks, you know, why that the church sometimes attracts people, because there's some love. That's why. God bless it. I think it's a commendable that a church has people who are a little difficult. We have a couple of autistic grandchildren born to our daughter called Joy. And everybody says, "You've named her well." And they love the presence of Jesus. Amen. And the church makes room for them. Thank Jesus for that. Going the second mile in our works and going the second mile in our giving. If we do that, the world would be one for Christ. Amen. The churches will grow. Our church growth rate in America and Canada is not what it used to be. Overseas, 6 years ago, we grew by 14,000 churches in 1 year. That's your overseas portfolio, you understand? So as you pray for us and you pray for the work of God and go that second mile, God blesses us and God blesses his work. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of serving you. Co-workers, co-laborers with God. Thank you for the privilege you give to us as a church to be workers together. We pray for your blessing upon this church, for this pastor, Lord. Give us strength to do your ministry, and God, save many souls, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor, if you could just hang on 1 second here.
Okay.
Just looking for that microphone. Hopefully it's nowhere near that tarantula. Thank you. That's a good word.
Thank you.
It's a good word, and it's a good challenge to us this morning. You know, you came, and both of you faithfully ministered here, your first church, right?
That's right, yes.
Over 50 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, as I was sitting here with Leslie, and I'm listening to you and watching and realizing, boy, 50 years ago, and you're ministering in following the Lord and continuing to serve, and you're sharing this morning here, I just was struck, Lord, help us 50 years from now to be living for you in such a passionate and courageous way. So I just honor you both. Thank you for coming here and serving over 50 years ago. And thank you for being here, and thank you for continuing to minister. And if we could just pray with you, I just really feel we need to just again lay hands on you both and pray over you. And those of you that know the Anna Beach, can you come and just join me, please, just for a moment? I don't know if you could just come. Just there's a few of you who have relationship here. Could you just come and join me, please? I just feel in my heart that we need to do that. And you know, I am believing that God will lead a team, and we'll be able to come and this church that was your first church will come and help with the work that God's doing through you today.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
It's a good word.
Precious.
And so we will continue to go the second mile.
Amen.
And God is growing this church, and he's leading this church. So the ministry that you came and did here is still growing.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
Still moving forward.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we just thank God that he's at work still in your lives, and he will continue to be at work in our lives. So let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the pastors, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for their hearts to serve you again. Lord, to continue on. And again, Lord, I just think back 50 years ago, Lord, as you led them here, you brought them here, they faithfully served you. God, we pray you just bless them for all of that and all the things you've done in their lives over the years since. And Lord, in this work today that they're a part of, Lord, even in paying back loans that we have to pay back and those different things, God, that you would just bless them. And God, that we would be a church, and along with other churches that would help support that ministry and support that work by even going over there also to actually assist. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, God, that you have a plan for all of us. And you do call us to walk the second mile. You do, to be faithful. And Lord, this couple is an example of faithfulness. We thank you for their children, Lord, who are serving you also, and their grandkids also, Lord. We just pray that you would just continue to bless them and pour over them, God. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. As we hear from the word today, we're challenged, God, to walk the second mile. God, we do pray, Lord, that you continue to expand and grow the work, Lord, all around this world. But God, we specifically pray, God, that you would continue to expand and grow the work here in this country. God, as we hear of churches being planted all over this world, God, we want to see more churches planted here.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, more people coming to know you. So, God, we do pray that there would be even more. There would be more. A choice to go and step out, Lord, and step out in the direction that you lead us. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, for this couple. God, bless them, Lord, today. And God, provide every need for them. Lord, you know every detail. You know what lays ahead. And we just pray that you provide every detail, everything that they need, Lord, and those around them in leadership to see, God, your kingdom come. Lord, to see souls saved, God, lives turned towards you. God, invigorate them. Fill them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Bless them, God. I just can sense your Spirit speaking through and moving through them, Lord, and it's so beautiful to see, God. Bless them, Lord. Help them to continue on to serve you, to love you, God, and see miraculous things happen, Lord, in their ministry. Again, we just thank you, Lord, again, for their faithfulness. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that you continue to do a work here. Continue to move us forward. Continue to challenge us, God, into what you call us to. That we wouldn't be afraid, Lord, but we'd step into that wholeheartedly and say, God, if you go before us, who can be against us? If you are leading us, then how could we go astray? And so, Father, we will trust in you. We'll trust in your leading. We just pray this all in your name. Amen.